Let's pray. Father, we do thank you once again, Lord, tonight that we're here, that you got us here. And Lord, we thank you for your word. And I do pray that as we look at what's going on in Israel, Lord, and your heart for those people. And God, I thank you that, Lord, we can watch you work in an amazing way, in such an intimate way, in such a close way, trying to win the hearts of the people who are so pushing you away. And God, I thank you that, Lord, from that we have the assurance that you want to be intimately involved in our lives. God, you want to be there for us. You're not pushing us away, but so often we're pushing you away. And so I do pray that you would just bless this time, Lord, especially if someone's hurting tonight, they would be able to see this great picture of a God who loves and a God who cares, even to me, sometimes beyond reason. And Lord, then we can also see there comes a time where judgment has to come. So bless this time, I pray. Work in our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, if you remember, we've been looking at Isaiah now for a little bit, right? And he's been warning the world, warning Israel, and warning Judah. Mostly to Judah. Remember, he's a prophet to Judah, mostly telling them. But he reached out to Israel a little bit, warned them, definitely warned them about Egypt, about Assyria, about putting their trust there. And so as we think about that, now we're going to go back and we're going to go back chronologically a little bit. Isaiah's been busy, but we're going to go back just a little bit and we're going to see that his ministry had basically zero impact on the nation of Israel. Like, they don't want to hear it. They were so bent on the direction they were going. They're not going to listen. They're not going to hear. And so now we're picking it up. Hezekiah's not king yet, although he's king in Isaiah, but he's not king yet. He's getting ready to be king. Did I hear a phone? Coffee, wherever that is. Look at all of you jumping. How many of you didn't turn your phones off? Like everybody like jumping for their phone. Anyway, we see that Hezekiah's not king yet, and we're going to go back a little bit. We're going to watch Ahaz, but mostly we're going to look at the very last king of Israel, the northern 10 tribes, Hosea. And what a bummer. I mean, well, look at the first couple verses. Look at what it says. It says, in the 12th year of Ahaz, king of Judah, Hosea, it says, was Hosea, the son of Elah, became king of Israel in Samaria, and he reigned 9 years, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord, but not as the kings of Israel who were before him. There's kind of a little cool thing in there, right? You're going, yes, if you don't know the rest of the story, woohoo! Finally, a king that didn't do worse, right? Because they did worse, and they did worse, and they did worse, and they did worse, and, you know, but nobody beat Jeroboam. He was the chief of all sinners, right? He was the worst king ever, but they kept trying. They kept vying for that, and it got worse and worse and worse and worse. And now you get to the last one and you're going, he's doing okay, but okay's not good. So you can be okay when you compare yourself with others, but when God looks at you, he's going, no, okay, it's not good. So you have this king who's there, he's doing all right, but he's making deals, quote, with the devil. He's making deals with Assyria. This guy was a little bit ballistic to me. He makes deals with Assyria, who's coming at him from the north. And then as they capture him, then he makes deals with Egypt in the south to come and help him. And he just gets burned all over the place because here's the thing. Shouldn't be making deals with Assyria. Shouldn't be making deals with Egypt. He should be making deals with God. He should be going to the Lord. But by now, listen, by now, their whole philosophy of worship now was so syncretized to the world around them. They're so far removed from true Jewish worship that it's no wonder that he did that. So he makes that deal. And listen, then, here's what happens, verse 3. Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, came up against him, and Hoshea became his vassal and paid him tribute and money. So, listen, that's just real brief. It's not giving us the whole war. It's just real brief, like he kind of came and got him. He took him. And then it says, the king of Assyria uncovered a conspiracy by Hoshea, for he had sent messengers to So, king of Egypt, and brought no tribute to the king of Assyria as he had done the year before. Therefore, the king of Assyria shut him up and bound him in prison. So listen, he got busted on his deal trying to work out the deal with... And, you know, it's kind of interesting. When you read commentators, they're going, I don't know if So was a king. You know, it's kind of weird, right? So? Who is So? Maybe they were saying so-and-so. I'm not sure. And just lost the rest of it. And someone forgot his name and just said, you know, so-and-so is over there. But listen, you have this king of Egypt, and he made a deal with him. And then, you know, some of the commentators, here's what they go, I don't think this guy existed. And I'm thinking, man, you know what? Doesn't matter what his name was. Hoshea was trying to play both ends against the middle, and he got busted. And now, listen, now he's a vassal. Now he's not just a vassal. Now he's in captivity. And then it was 3 years in verse 5. It says, now the king of Assyria went through all the land and went up to Samaria and besieged it for 3 years. Now, if you read in 18, in the middle of chapter 18, don't turn there right now. You can read it for homework. It kind of gives a little bit, it kind of gives a summary of this thing and a little bit more of what's going on. But not much. Listen, for 3 years, he was besieging, he was trying to get Samaria, he was trying to capture the city. Although he had taken a king, he didn't have control of the city yet. And here's the interesting thing, Shalmaneser never really got control. He died. He died almost when he was about to win. And then Sargon II, his son, some say, or a general, listen, he finally was the one and breached in and took over Samaria. Remember, Samaria was at the time just a city in the northern tribe of Israel, 10 tribes. He took it over. He took like 27,000 people out and took them back to Assyria. But he left a lot. And then we're going to see in a moment, then he brought in a lot of foreigners. Listen, when they would capture places, they would take some captive. They would leave some there. Then they would bring other captives they've taken, place them in there, and hope they all integrate, and Assyria could have control because they made this new nation. And that's bottom line what's going to happen. Remember in the time of Christ, it says they went to Samaria and the Samaritans. And we're even talking about that in, as we're looking at Acts, the Samaritans. Well, this is where they came from. This is it. This is the time where it all began to happen. Some were taken away. Some foreigners were brought in. They intermarried with the Jews. They were going to see. They began to syncretize their religions. They brought a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and a little bit of this. Put it in a blender. Kind of got a whole new thing. They thought they were doing well. So that's the beginning of what happens even like during the time of Christ with the Samaritans. So we see that going on. He took him captive. It says in the 9th year, verse 6, of Hoshea, the king of Assyria, took Samaria, carried Israel away to Assyria, placed them in Hala, and by the harbor, by the river Gozan, and in the cities of the Medes. So listen, 1 through 6, just give us a kind of a real brief thing, and here's what's happening. Israel's gone. It's done. That's kind of quick, isn't it? Like we've been reading and reading and reading and reading and going on and looking into Isaiah, but reading through Kings and Chronicles, and you read and you read and you read, and you're kind of expecting some big thing, and 6 verses, he's gone. And then some people talk about the 10 lost tribes, right? The tribes were taken away. God did not lose any tribes. Every time I hear that, I think, how could you even say 10 lost tribes? And he said, well, these tribes were really never heard from again. Yeah, they were. As a matter of fact, James, when he wrote his epistle, who did he write his epistle to? The 12 tribes. James didn't lose any. God didn't lose any. And that whole thing, then a lot of people who say they were lost, and you get into that whole British Israelism and, you know, I'm trying to bring them, you know, or some are supposed to be some Native Americans here according to, listen, all of that is bunk. God didn't lose his people, and it is interesting when you talk to some people. You know, even now we have, you know, people who have a name, you know, our guide, Ronnie Simone from the tribe of Simeon, you know, and et cetera. They know where they're from. So listen, all of that is bunk, but they were carried away, and then they had to work. So now, listen, Now we're going to read the whole rest of this chapter, and here's what I like. The whole rest of this chapter is explaining why they were carried away. And we could say it in just one word, sin. They're carried away because of sin. But God is going to get very specific, and here's the thing. Some people say the God of the Old Testament is mean. He's mad. He's angry. I don't see it that way at all. When I read the prophets, I hear a person crying to a nation or nations, please come back, please come back, please come back, please come back. I want you to come back. God never says, I want you to stay away. But God did tell them, if they do not want to follow Him and do not want to be part of what He's doing, they can't stay in His land. That's His land. And you don't want to do what I do, that's fine. You just can't stay in my land. Like sometimes as parents, you got to tell your kids, right? They reach a certain age, and then you got to tell them, you don't want to do what I do, you can't live in this house. I hear parents do that, and I think that's the right thing to do. Well, that's what God, listen, that's God's land. God laid it out for them how to live. And here's the thing, He didn't lay it out for them how to live so they would be miserable. He laid it out to them how to live so they would be prosperous and happy and full of joy. And they chose rather to go the other direction. So God says, listen, you're bent on doing that. Kind of, I look at this as kind of the prodigal. You know, some of us have prodigals. I look at this, man. These are the whole nation, you know, the 10 tribes. They're God's prodigal, and away they go. And we're going to see later on Judah, you know, both of God's kids in a sense. They go away, they're prodigals, and some of them come back. But listen, now they're going to go away. So now He's going to explain what's going on. We're going to look at some of the sin. Then we're going to look at how they got into that sin and how that sin continued. So look at verse 7. It says, for so it was that the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, who had brought them up out of the land of Egypt from under the hand of Pharaoh, and they had feared other gods and walked in the statutes of the nations whom the Lord had cast out from before the children of Israel and the kings of Israel, which they had made. So listen, the kings and the people both walked after the gods that other people had made. One of the first things God told him is, I'm your God, and all of these others are not. I'm kind of paraphrasing, right? And all of those others are a waste. Follow me, and I will take care of you. Trust me, and I will take care of you. And I love here, we go all the way back. Did not God do a good job of getting them out of Egypt? I think He did pretty good. Didn't He do a good job of getting them across the Red Sea, of getting them through the wilderness, of getting them into the land? Didn't He do a really good job of kicking everybody out of the land so they could come into the land? And He got rid of all those people in the land because they were following other gods. And He says, this is not going to put you in here. You're going to be good. This is going to be so good. It's going to be you and me, and we're going to have a ball. And what happened, man? They got in the land. They didn't get rid of all the people. They got rid of some of the people. It's kind of like us when we come to the Lord, and He wants us, listen, He wants us to come clean. He wants us to be real. He wants us to be honest with Him. And some of us, well, we're going to see in a minute, some of us are going to think we have those secret sins. They're not secret to God. He's not like shocked. He knows everything we're doing. And listen, God just so wanted a relationship with these people. And they so wanted to do their own thing. And so they didn't get rid of all the people. They didn't clear things out. So here's what happens when you do that. You know what happens, right? The stuff starts coming back on you. And then pretty soon it begins to take over. And then it begins to control you. And you got to deal with it. So this is a perfect picture right here. They didn't get rid of all the people, so they brought in just a little bit. It's, you know, I remember one of the first times I ever taught through Genesis and thinking of the Lot and God telling Lot to leave Sodom and Gomorrah. And here's basically what Lot said to the angels: "Can't I sin just a little bit? I don't want to go. I don't want to have to go all the way over there. I want to sin just a little bit. Can I stay here?" Remember? He talked him into it. What a bummer. And that's so many of us. We want, Lord, can I sin just a little bit? You can't sin just a little bit. It's going to bite you. It's going to get you. So listen, this is what they're doing. So the first thing they did, they wanted other gods. And then, verse 9, and the children of Israel secretly did against the Lord their God things that were not right. They secretly, now listen, the writer here is not saying they secretly did it and God didn't see it. The writer is saying they tried, they tried to keep it on the down low, right? They tried to say, nobody else knows, man. We're just sinning a little bit, and we're not going to let anybody know about it. And listen, nobody knows. I'm doing this all by myself, and, you know, it's okay. It's never okay. So they secretly, I kind of like that. So they think they were secretly sinning against God. And listen, so then it says they were doing things that were not right. And they built for themselves high places in all their cities from the watchtower to the fortified city. Remember, when Jeroboam took over, you guys remember a few year ago or so? I was thinking a few weeks, but remember when he took over? Remember when Jeroboam took over and he was freaked out because he was worried that people would go down and want to worship with his brother Rehoboam? And so he didn't want people going back down. He didn't want so what did he do? Remember he built the calves? Now, here's something, this is going to kind of heads up on this. Where did he put one calf? One calf was in Samaria, and one calf was in Bethel. Keep that in mind. And then what did they do? They worshiped them. And here's what he said. You don't have to go all the way to Jerusalem. Just worship these calves. And by worshiping these calves, we're going to pretend we're worshiping the real God. And we're going to kind of change everything. Well, that's where they got. And so then they secretly begin to build this high place and then that high place and then that high place. Because you can't sin just a little bit. So you start sinning and you put something here and you put something there and you put something there. And then pretty soon, man, your life's a train wreck because you got all this stuff going on with you. And so that's what's happening. Now they're going to sin just a little bit. They're secretly sinning, building up these high places. Verse 10, they set up for themselves sacred pillars and wooden images on every high hill and under every tree. There they burned incense on all the high places like the nations whom the Lord had carried away before them, and they did wicked things to provoke the Lord to anger, for they served idols of which the Lord had said to them, you shall not do this thing. Here's the craziest thing of all to me. God told them when they went in that those people were wicked, they were evil, and he said, listen, I'm going to remove them because of their sin. And what did Israel do? They did the very sin that the people were doing that God removed them. You get my point? And sometimes we do that, don't we? We look at the world and we go, oh, that's awful. And we're doing it. So this is kind of crazy. As I read and see what's going on here, you know, you can see specific sins. But listen, it's like just you open the door and sin just a little bit. And then pretty soon you're building high places. Then you're not just building high places. Now you're building images and putting them on the high places. Now you're not just building images and putting them on the high places. Now you're building images, putting them on the high places, and you're burning incense and you're worshiping and you're offering offerings to them. And you forgot all about who's Jehovah God? Who's Yahweh? We're so busy doing this. He's kind of out of the picture now. And here's what he says. Not in my blank. Well, that was your fault, Brad. There's that spot. See if it does it again. Nope. Oh, well. We're doing a test. Sorry. So listen, God's saying, you're not going to do this in my land. This is my land, and I'm not going to let you stay. And they keep sinning. Oh, they get worse. Listen, it gets worse. It doesn't... come on, those of us who are real in this room... Some of us I know, we're like so holy, but the reals of us, we know, man, once you start going, it's like a snowball, right? It's going down. And listen, it gets just worse and worse and worse. And this is verse 13. Yet the Lord testified against Israel, against Judah by all of his prophets, every seer saying, turn from your evil ways, keep my commandments and my statutes according to all the law which I commanded your fathers and which I sent to you by my servants the prophets. Listen, he says, man, God sent seer after seer. Here's just a list. Isaiah chapter 5, specifically to Israel, but Isaiah some to Israel. Micah chapter 6, specifically to Israel. Hosea and Amos, these guys all went. We're going to look at Hosea and Amos in next couple weeks. But Hosea and Amos, God sent seer after seer, and these are just the big guns. Remember, you had Elijah and Elisha. And these guys went and they told him, you guys are blowing it, let's get it together. And they're going, no, it's not as bad as you think. And then what does he say? He also, they had the commandments, they had the written word. You had Exodus chapter 20, you had Leviticus chapter 18 and chapter 20, you had Deuteronomy chapter 5. And we're going to see in a little bit, you had Deuteronomy chapter 28. God warned them. Listen, it's not like God surprised them. It's not like God, you know, put them in the land, then they did all this, and then he goes, hey, I don't like what you're doing, although I never told you I didn't like that. Now I'm mad at you because you did what I didn't want you to do, but I never told you. Sometimes as parents, we do that. God didn't do that. He warned them and warned them and warned them. He even put it in writing for them so that they would have it, so they could read it and they could understand it. And listen, they're going, nope. You know what? We don't care what you say. We don't care what happened to you. We don't care what the prophets did. Nevertheless, verse 14, they would not hear, but stiff-necked, they're stiffened their necks like the necks of their fathers who did not believe in the Lord their God. That's eventually what happens. You see, if you let that snowball continue to go downhill, it gets so big, and here's what happens. You forget God altogether. And you see this with this nation, and you see, how did that happen? How did they get to that place? I think it started with the rebellion of Jeroboam. It didn't start with the golden calf. It started when they decided they're no longer going to be part and unified as a country. They're going to go do their own thing because they don't like what's going on. So it all started there. Then it just got worse and worse and worse. Now, I like chapter 15, and verse 15, because of it, it speaks to my heart. It says, and they rejected his statutes and his covenants and his covenant that he made with their fathers and his testimonies which he had testified against them. Now listen, here in the middle it says, they followed idols and they became idolaters. Some of your translations might say, and they followed vanity and they became empty, or they became worthless. You see, you become like the thing that you worship. And if you're worshiping, if you worship and you're following after God, it's a magical place right there. So, I'm going to unplug all this. No, I'm kidding. So, if you worship and you're following after God, you're going to be more like God. But if you worship and follow after other things, you're going to begin to... And here's what he's saying. They were following worthless things, so they became worthless. That's what the original language says. I think the NIV... I didn't quote the NIV in my notes, but the NIV's got the best translation of that section, because that's what happened to him, and that's what God is seeing, and that's what God is telling him. So listen, they became all idolaters, or they became worthless, and they went after the nations who were around them, concerning whom the Lord had charged them that they should not do like them. So they all left the commandments of the Lord their God and made for themselves a modeled image and two calves and made wooden images and worshipped all the host of heaven and served Baal. Man! Oh! So listen, 7 through 16, 17, 18 is just letting us know that's why God took them out of the land. Listen, it wasn't just like they slipped. You know, sometimes people act like, how could God do that? Well, because you're so stubborn, so stiff-necked, so strong-willed, so desiring to go your own way, sometimes he's got to take extreme measures. God is very, very, very slow to anger, right? The Bible teaches us that. But listen, here's a quote, but he's also very sure to anger when we persist in sin, because he loves us. He wants to pull us out. And why are you doing? Here's what I hear God saying. Why are you doing like the nations before you that I told you? These were not good people. This wasn't a good thing. This wasn't a good life. Look, I even kicked them out of the land. Now you're doing the very thing. You don't think I'm going to kick you out of the land? And I think sometimes we feel that way, huh? Oh, he's not going to kick me out of the land. Bet me. Oh, verse 17, and they caused their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire, to practice witchcraft and soothsaying, and they sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord, to provoke him to anger. Therefore, the Lord was very angry with Israel and removed them from his sight, and there was none left but the tribe of Judah. So God finally says, man, you're out of here. Listen, for homework, read Deuteronomy chapter 28. It's a long chapter. But Deuteronomy chapter 28 is one of the, I think, most powerful chapters in the Old Testament. Because God is 63 verses very specific of what he's going to do to Israel if they do not follow him. Very specific. And then there's like 19 verses of saying the blessing they're going to be blessed with if they follow him. So listen, the warning is huge, right? God gives them such detail and such perfect warning. I heard there was a documentary that during the Holocaust, during the Hitler regime, there was somebody who did a documentary showing Jews becoming, you know, getting on boxcars and going into, you know, the prisons and the encampments with Deuteronomy 28 passages under them. Because God warned Israel. He says, here's what's going to happen. You don't follow me. Don't trust me. This is what's going to happen to you. So very specific. So again, this is, listen, therefore the Lord was very angry with Israel. He removed them from his sight, and there was none left but the tribe of Judah. Verse 19, also Judah did not keep the commandments of the Lord, but walked in the statutes of Israel, which they made. So here's what's happening. The brother influences the brother, right? So now you got the northern 10 tribes, now they're influencing the southern 2 tribes, or Judah. Benjamin was kind of swallowed up in Judah. So they influence them. Isaiah right now, you know, in our study, when we're studying Isaiah, he's screaming at Judah saying, don't do that, 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 don't do that. That's a bad idea. Don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. And they go, it's okay, man, we got it handled. We can handle this. We're big boys. He said, oh, no, you're going to get in real trouble. And the Lord, verse 20, the Lord rejected all the descendants of Israel, afflicted them, and delivered them into the hand of the plunderers until he cast them from his sight. For he tore Israel from the house of David. Wow. Listen, he didn't just remove them. You're kind of getting the idea? He tore them out of there. You're out of here. He tore Israel from the house of Israel and made Jeroboam the son of Nebat king. Then Jeroboam drove Israel from following the Lord and made them commit a great sin. For the children of Israel walked in the sins of Jeroboam, which he did, and they did not depart from them until the Lord removed Israel out of his sight, as he had said by all of his servants the prophets. So Israel was carried away from their own land into Assyria as it is to this day. So there you go. So listen, briefly, they were captured and taken out. Explicitly, here's why. Kind of a little sub thing. God was justified and right in what he did, because it started hundreds of years ago, not just last week, hundreds of years ago, and God was patient and slow to anger. But you can't, listen, you can't just keep doing wrong. Now here's the good news. God loves them that much. God loves them so much that he knows this is what's going to win their hearts. This is what's going to happen. So we get that picture now. Listen, now the author of Kings is going to show us what's going on after there's that vacuum of people are taken out. Now the foreigners come in, right? The foreigners come in, and things really, really, really get cloudy. And no wonder that by the time of Jesus, everybody was saying, we don't even want to go near those Samaritans, man, because they have, listen, they have Judaism so messed up, it's not as it doesn't even resemble real Judaism. I'm not going to get close to that. Real Judaism, it's just like messed up. And so how did it get so messed up? Well, we're going to find out. Listen, we're going to find out how it got messed up. Look at verse 24. Then the king of Assyria brought people from Babylon, from Cutha, from Ava, from Hamath, and from Sepharvaim, and placed them in the cities of Samaria instead of the children of Israel, and they took possession of Samaria, and they dwelt in the cities. So listen, he took these people, and he kind of lists these people, and he brought these people in, and he put them there along with the Jews that were there. And so now they're all living together, and now, you know what, they're still not getting it, man. They're still not. It didn't dawn on anybody that this was not a good thing. Everybody's kind of staying status quo. Now you got the Jews that are even starting, I believe, intermarrying with some of these people. So check out what happens. Verse 25, and it was so at the beginning of their dwelling there that they did not fear the Lord. We might put in there, did not worship the Lord. And listen, the fear here is not like, as I said before, not like a fear like they're afraid, but they did not reverence the Lord, right? So listen, in the beginning, and why would they? They were foreigners, right? But there were some there, but they did not fear the Lord. Therefore, check this out. The Lord sent lions among them, which killed some of them. Like, God, don't tell me God doesn't care. Like, man, God, listen, he goes, you guys aren't behaving? Here, get them, lions. I mean, the lions come in and, you know, I read this and I read about lions in the Middle East, and I've been to the Middle East several times. I've never seen any lions. It's like God imported, right? It's like he borrowed lions from Barnum and Bailey or something. He brings them in. He says, just eat a few of these people and then come back. So listen, God again, notice God sent them. Wow. They're starting to eat people. Now here's the thing, the people knew it. Here's what's crazy. The people are going, I don't know where those lions came from. They're like eating us. This is not a good thing. So this is where I think it gets crazy. So, verse 26, so they spoke to the king of Assyria saying, the nations whom you have removed and placed in the cities of Samaria do not know the rituals of the God of the land. Now remember, in their minds, gods were very local, right? You know, God wasn't universal. You had a local God. We're going to see there's a whole bunch of them named down here. So you had your little God. So here's what they're going. Man, listen. Here's what they're telling the king. You brought these people in, and now these people are placed here in Israel. And they don't know what that God wants, and they're a little confused, and the lions are eating them. So we got to figure out what that God wants. We need to find out what he's all about so we can quit being eaten. Is this crazy or what? This would be a great movie. Wouldn't it be fun? So the nations, listen, they don't know the rituals of the God of the land. Therefore, he has sent lions among them, and indeed they are killing them because they do not know the rituals of the God of the land. How crazy is that? They know that God is doing that, and they're going, we need to figure out this God. Can you send somebody to help us talk to this God? Somebody that knows what he wants so that we can figure this thing out, because we don't all want to get eaten by lions. And they're like chomping down. I don't know how many people. It's interesting. It doesn't tell us how many. It doesn't kind of give us all the information. So the king of Assyria, verse 27, the king of Assyria commanded, send one of the priests whom you brought from there. So listen, he's a pretty smart guy, right? Send one of the priests. We got a priest and we got a guy who was there who was serving God. Quote, so send one of the priests. I kind of like that. So let him go and dwell there, and let him teach them the rituals of the God of the land. Wow. Okay, great idea, king. Then one of the priests whom they had carried away from Samaria came and dwelt in Bethel. Oh, dude. Why did you go to Bethel? Because that's where the calf is. That's how we've been worshiping God. Are you kind of getting the idea that the lions aren't going to stop eating people? You kind of getting the idea that, listen, you can't fix sin with sin, right? And so now comes the guy who's messed up theologically. Oh, he's going to get really messed up. He's messed up theologically. And here's what I found. Man, if you start going off theologically and you begin to believe stuff and you begin to go in that direction, it's hard to stop, and you get further and further and further. And that's why we have so many, quote, Christian cults out there that are not Christian. They're just cults. And they've gotten so far off, they went off a little bit. And even sometimes, listen, sometimes it was a person who started and they went off a little bit. And then a person following them went off a little bit more. And then a person following them went way off. And that's what happens. But they all go back to that root of that one. Listen, so this guy shows up. He comes. He goes to Bethel. And he taught them how they should fear the Lord. Now listen, that's all saying. He didn't really teach them how to fear the Lord. He taught them what he knew about fearing the Lord, which we got to worship this calf, because this calf is, you know, now a representation to God. So verse 29 tells us, however, every nation continued to make gods of its own. That's always great, huh? Hey, let me come and show you. And here's what I think's going on. Listen, you start showing somebody, and you come to somebody, and you go, here's what you need. You need to worship this golden calf. Well, if you have a calf, I can have a parrot. Right? I'm going to have whatever I want. Again, I remember in India, you know, when you have millions of gods, it's kind of hard to figure out. It's kind of hard to discern who's God and who's not, you know, in the whole thing. And so listen, you got... so. They go, well, we got our own gods. We don't need that calf. So they continue to make its own gods, every nation, verse 29. And put him, or put them, in the shrines on the high places. And it says then, which the Samaritans had made, and every nation in the cities where they dwelt. So here's what's going on. Do you remember way back, Samaria made high places? Well, they didn't really want to worship those other gods. They were still trying to worship Jehovah, Yahweh. But now they made them, and they moved just a little bit. But now, listen, these other nations are taking their high places. Now they're really, really doing perverted, crazy things on them and changing them. And so, listen, now we're going to learn some of these gods, and I may mispronounce them or whatever, but the men of Babylon made Succoth and Benoth, the men of Cuth made Nergal, the men of Hamath made Ashima, and the Avites made Nibhaz and Tartak, Shepharvites burned their children in the fire to Adrammelech and Animelech, and the gods of Sepharvaim, and they feared the Lord from every class. They appointed for themselves priest of the high places. Now you see what's going on? Listen, it's gotten so messed up, nobody knows the truth anymore. And it's so messed up that they could come in, they could lay out these gods. And I had a list of, you know, what the Talmud said. The Talmud said the Babylonian Succoth and Benoth was a hen and a chicken. Nergal was a rooster. Ashima was a smooth goat versus a rough goat. Nibhaz was a dog. Tartak was a donkey. Adrammelech was a peacock, and Anammelech was a pheasant. So just in case you were wondering. But listen, we kind of giggle, but it started from a golden calf. If you can worship a calf, then I can make a golden chicken. I can make a golden chick. I can make a golden rooster. I can make a golden donkey. It's kind of weird, but I can do that. And what does it say? It says, so they feared the Lord. They, again, think of it this way. Let's translate that a little bit. They worshiped the Lord. Now, they didn't worship the Lord, but in their minds, they were worshiping the Lord. Are you with me? Because they didn't know any better. No one was teaching them. No one was giving them the truth. Someone just showed up and said, here's how you fear God. Here's how you worship Yahweh. You worship this calf. Okay, well, if you're going to do it with a calf, I'll do it with a chicken, and I'll worship Yahweh. You can't do that. Listen carefully. You can't do it with a calf, and you can't do it with a chicken and a hen, or a chicken and a chick, or a hen and a chick, whatever it was. You can't do that. But they didn't know. And they were worshiping God their way. You see, that was the big problem with Israel. When Israel went and went up north, here's what they said when they split from the southern tribes. Here's what they said. We know we're supposed to do the temple thing. We know we're supposed to go to the temple, but we don't want to. If we go to the temple, we're going to lose some people. So here's the thing. I'm going to worship God my way. Man, that bothers me bad when people tell me that. Again, not because I want to control people, not because I want to get a hold of people. You've got to worship God God's way. God makes it very clear in His Word what we're to do, even as Christians. And there are so many Christians today that kind of want a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Why can't we all just get along? Listen, we live in a country that's a democracy, and everybody has the right to worship whatever God, however they want to. I believe in that. I would fight for that. but I don't think they're right. I think there's one way to heaven, period, and that is through Jesus Christ. And anybody that says anything different is wrong. And I believe, listen, as a church in the 21st century, we're kind of, well, come on, do we have to be that narrow? Yes. Yes, we do. And so listen, these guys, can you see now how this thing spread? This thing spread from just one, 10 tribes going north a couple hundred years ago, and now they're worshiping all of these things. And here's what they said. They said to themselves, listen, we're worshiping God and we have appointed priests for ourselves in the middle of verse 32 and for the high places, and the priests sacrificed for them in the shrines of the high places. Verse 33, they worshiped or feared the Lord, yet they served their own gods. Again, you can't do that. You can't worship God your own way and plug something else in there. It will never work. Ever, 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 ever. And when you tell me I'm going to do it my way, you're wrong. There's only one way. Unless your way is with God, I guess I should say. But listen, they did it their way, they did it according, in verse 33, they feared the Lord, yet served their own gods, according to the rituals of the nations from whom they were carried away. Verse 34, to this day they continue practicing the former rituals. They do not fear the Lord or worship the Lord. Now listen, this is like letting us know. They thought they were, but in reality they're not. And you know what? You and I owe it to people to tell them when they're wrong. You don't have to be rude. You don't have to be aggressive. You don't have to be somebody who's like putting them down. But you need to tell somebody you're wrong. You're wrong. I believe you're 100% wrong. And you need to let them know the truth. If you don't tell them the truth, who is? Who's going to tell them the truth? It's us. We're it. We're the ones that have that privilege and responsibility. So listen, they were doing their own thing, but this guy here, he says, man, they did not fear the Lord in verse 34, nor do they follow the statutes of their ordinances or the law and commandment which the Lord had commanded the children of Jacob, whom he named Israel. Listen, now he's going back all the way, man, when God commanded Jacob, and then he says, with whom the Lord had made a covenant and charged them, saying, you shall not fear other gods, nor bow down to them, nor serve them, nor sacrifice to them, but the Lord who brought you up from the land of Egypt with great power and an outstretched arm, him you shall fear or worship, him you shall worship, and to him you shall offer sacrifice. Woo! You guys are doing it all wrong. Isaiah has told them. Micah told them. Hosea told them. Elisha told them. Elijah told them. They don't want to hear it. You know, and sometimes we don't want to hear it, right? I don't know about you guys, but sometimes I want to stay stubborn and do my own thing. I don't want to hear it. My wife said something to me the other day. I'm not going to tell you what it is because it's none of your business. But she said something to me. And I just went, why are you right? You know, it's like, you know, just when they say something to you, why would you say that? That's so right. I don't want to do that. Listen, we need people around us to tell us to stop it. Stop it. Don't do that. Don't go that direction. Because if you don't stop it, you're going to get in some serious trouble. And listen, I don't want any of us to get eaten by lions. I don't want that to happen in our lives. Listen, I look at that and there's just destruction in our lives. And we bring this broken, messed up, half-eaten life and we go, Lord, oh, he can restore it, but why go through that? Why do that? So listen, he's saying, man, there was the truth in front of him. It's, again, not like God just brought it up. And he said, verse 37, and the statutes and the ordinances, the law and the commandments which he wrote for you, which he wrote for you, which he wrote for you. Don't you love God's word? And he wrote it down. Here's what I love about God's word. Like people will tell me stuff and sometimes people change. Like I look at my own life and my own ministry and my ministry has changed over the years. You know, I've been serving this church for a little over 25 years now. December was 25 years for me. And listen, I look and I've changed a lot. You go back and listen, well, they're destroyed. But if you could go back and listen to some of that stuff, you go, oh, and look at it. and some things I've changed, but you know what never changes? This. God's word never changes. He says he wrote it down. Listen, aren't you glad? He wrote it down. He wrote it for you guys. And it says, listen, that he wrote down and you know that the Lord brought it into statutes he wrote for you, and you shall be careful to observe forever, and you shall not fear other gods. And the covenant that I've made with you, in verse 38, the covenant I've made with you, you shall not forget, nor shall you fear other gods, but the Lord your God you shall fear, and he will deliver you from the hand of your enemies. What a promise. You see, God promises, I can get you out of that if you just trust me. Listen, I'm not telling you he's going to make everything a bed of roses, but he can get you out of the grasp of the enemy who wants to kill, steal, and destroy. And he can give you that hope and that peace, and he can even make beauty from ashes. So listen, he says, man, why would you do that? Verse 40, however, they did not obey, but they followed the formal rituals. So these nations worshiped the Lord, yet served carved images. Also their children and their children's children have continued doing so, as their fathers did, even to this day. Now listen, it's kind of interesting. Check out when Kings was written. I'm not even going to tell you. You can do some research. Google it. Find out when Kings was written. Because he says, even to this day. So when he's saying even to this day, he's talking about his day. And we could say even to today, the same thing. You start messing with the truth, listen carefully, and you're always going to come up with a lie. It bugs me when people say, well, it was half true. A half-truth makes a whole lie. Sorry, but it is. Listen, we don't want to do that. And so here's what we do, man. Well, I know I'm supposed to worship God, but you know, I really kind of like this whole Adrenalech thing going on in my life, and I kind of like that whole Molech thing, and I kind of like what's going on there, and it's so appealing. Listen, I understand sin draws our flesh. Otherwise, we'd just run from it. I get it. But we need to resist. We need to stand strong. And I think as a you know, 21st century Christian, and we need to carry the banner high, and we need to let people know how great Jesus Christ is. So not beating people with him, but bringing people to him and letting them know our God is an awesome God. Not just a song, not just to sing it, and not just to worship him in these walls, but we need to go out there and let people know we got a great God. I got a great God. And I know you got a great God if you have him. Let's stand up and pray. Lord, we do thank you tonight for the opportunity here looking at this section. And Lord, I know that it's kind of like some bad news. But the bad news is because people do not want to follow their God. They don't want to go in the direction that you've given them. And Lord, once again, it's not something that happened to them overnight. Hundreds of years. And Lord, for us, I know you, maybe even tonight, you're speaking to some of our hearts right here, right now, telling us, let that go. Get rid of that foreign object in your life, that foreign God that you've brought in. And most of us aren't going to have hens and chicks and donkeys and monkeys and all of that stuff. But our idols are idols just the same. And here's the heavy thing. They're just as worthless as the idols in those days. And if we continue to worship them, we're going to become worthless. So I pray tonight, if we're here tonight and we've been kind of playing, living that dual life for a little while. We've been playing around with things, and tonight you spoke to our hearts. Give us the faith to repent right now while we're standing here. Get rid of those things. Give them to you and turn to you and trust you. And God, we thank you so much that you love us enough to confront us right where we're at. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.